Hey, guess what? The 2025 Writing Excuses Cruise is over 50% sold out. During this week-long masterclass, I'm going to be leading writers like yourself through a series of workshops designed to give you the tools to take your writing to the next level. Space is limited, but there is still time to secure your spot. We're going to be sailing out of Los Angeles from September 18th through 26th. Regardless of where you are in your writing journey, this event is your opportunity to learn new skills while exploring the beautiful Mexican Riviera. Whether you're revising a story, reworking a character arc, or revitalizing your plot, you'll leave more confident in your current story and bolstered by a new set of friends. Join us on board at writingexcuses.com/retreats.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 20, Episode 19. This is Writing Excuses.
Cooking as a writing metaphor.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Howard.
I'm Dong Wan.
And I'm Dan.
Hey, you know what I love? I really love to make food for other people. Almost as much as I love eating, but I think all of us kind of love eating. I remember years and years and years ago, we were talking about creativity and how occasionally you'll talk to someone and they're like, oh, I'm not creative. I can't create to save my life. Do you cook? Well, yeah, of course I cook. So if you're cooking a thing and you don't have one of the ingredients you need, what do you do? Well, I go to the cupboard and I look at what's in the cupboard and I try and find something that'll substitute. Aha! So what you're saying is you are creative, you just didn't know it yet. And this is one of the ways, for me, that cooking functions as a metaphor. At a very high level, it's an acid test for whether or not you really can be creative. At a much lower level, boy, there's a lot going on. There is so much going on. I'm sure we're all familiar with the phrase, necessity is the mother of invention. recently, Sandra has had some dietary needs, some dietary requirements, and I've discovered that mayonnaise works instead of butter. How did I discover that? By doing all kinds of reading and research, and it's the same sort of thing that you do when you're writing. And so in this episode, we are going to talk about cooking as a metaphor for us as writers, for writing. And I think this is going to make all of us hungry.
It's true. One of the things that I want to say is that you were saying, you know, everybody cooks. I'm like, actually, that's not true. There are a lot of people who don't cook, or who think that they don't cook. But when we're talking about cooking, when we're talking about creativity, that there's this whole range. Like, if you have selected a frozen dinner and you stick it in the microwave, that is actually cooking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean always that you have to start from scratch. Like, sometimes you're cooking and you are cooking using somebody else's kitchen. Sometimes you're cooking using somebody else's ingredients. Sometimes you are like, I'm just not in the mood. Mm-hmm. And there's still ways to be creative within that. That anytime you're having to make a choice, the choice is the creativity.
Well, and like in writing and in reading, there's so many valences we put on certain kinds of things. Like, we look at French cooking, right? Michelin star French tradition cooking as, like, so worthy and valuable compared to other traditions. But I have had as much enjoyment eating at a very fine dining restaurant as I have standing at a counter in a gas station eating a taco. Mm-hmm. And the way you enjoy things, and, you know, a box mac and cheese at the exact right moment is one of the finest pleasures in life, right?
Absolutely.
And so there are different kinds of writing and different kinds of creativity and art that fit different situations. That doesn't mean that the box mac and cheese is inherently worse or less valuable than the $300 tasting menu. I am nourished at the end of both of those, both in body and in spirit, right? And I think about what you're getting out of the thing that you're making rather than how the world would put a price tag on the thing that you're making.
Absolutely. And also know that, like, there's degrees of interest and mm-hmm. degrees of skill, and that skills are things you can acquire. Mm-hmm. For me, the thing at the core of this when we're talking about cooking is the nourishing. Although also there's some really good stuff that's not particularly nourishing. Like, give me a delicious s'more. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if that's like a toasted marshmallow, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Burnt sugar and air.
Yes, so good.
There's a lot of different kinds of nourishing, yes. Right? There's body, there's emotion, there's spirit, yeah. There's all these
things.
This is
absolutely true. But, you know, if you're looking at something and thinking, oh, I can't do that because I don't have those skills. The top chefs did not have those skills either when mm-hmm. they started. They learned exactly. them.
And you learn from recipes, right? You learn from starting to read recipes from a book that explains the basics. For me, that was the America's Test Kitchen Cookbook. I know a lot of people sort of my generation learned to cook from that book, where it just goes through, here are the core techniques. Here's how to break down a chicken. Here's how to, you know, heat up a pan. Here's like all the very basic techniques that let you learn the different components of what a dish is, what a recipe is.
You know, I hadn't thought about this before, but boxed mac and cheese may be kind of like fanfic. Mm-hmm. And that you start with something where you know exactly what it is, but you've seen it 1,000 times, mm-hmm. you know exactly what's in it, but you make the boxed mac and cheese and then you reach for the panko breadcrumbs mm-hmm. and the bacon bits and you put them on top. And now you've done slash fic, you know, you've done your own, mm-hmm. your own take on Kraft mac and cheese or whatever. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that, because at some point in your cooking journey, you realize, hey, you know what? What if I actually use real cheese instead of this powdered stuff and a mixture of milk and butter? How do I get to that point? Mm-hmm. That might be interesting. I'm going to try that. As a writer, boy, what if I build my own fantasy universe instead of using Greyhawk, instead of using, you know, Dungeons and Dragons?
So one of the things to remember about this, as you know, nobody looks at the home chef and says, oh, it's too bad you're a failed professional chef.
Right. Yes.
Right. Like, just because you cook at home doesn't mean that you have professional aspirations or that you need professional aspirations. And writing can be the same thing. It's something that we do because we love. Even if your goal is to eventually make money with it, you start because you love it. And it is a thing that brings you joy. And so making sure that you know kind of what your goals are as a writer can help you deal with those thoughts of inadequacy or criticisms coming from outside. Somebody finds out that you're a writer, they'll immediately ask, oh, have you published anywhere? Have you sold anything? Shut up. That's beside the point. That might be our goal, but that's not why we're doing it.
Yeah, and one of the distinctions I think about when thinking about what the difference is between not even the home chef and the professional chef, but what I think of as sustenance cooking mm-hmm. versus cooking for joy, right?
Yeah.
The I resent sustenance cooking. When I have to make myself lunch in the middle of the workday, or it's 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night and I'm starving and I need to figure out what to eat. Like, I'm furious at the idea that I need to like stop and cook, right? That sustenance cooking versus making a meal with for somebody you love or for yourself or whatever it is. And the difference to me is intention, right? When you approach what you're doing with intention, that changes. That changes from the emergency, I need to feed somebody box mac and cheese, to the I'm going to build a sauce for this mac and cheese. I'm going to add the breadcrumbs. I'm going to do more with it. So even if it is fanfic that you're doing, when you're approaching that fanfic with a kind of intention about what you're trying to accomplish and what effect you want to have on your audience, that I think is transformative and brings a different level into what you're doing.
Pop quiz, what is sustenance writing? I'm going to say email.
Email was kind of what I was going to.
I'm going to say email.
I think journaling can be sustenance writing. I think email. But I do think there's a lot of kinds of writing. I think a lot of writing, the kind of writing you would do for fanfic, the kind of writing you do just as test to see if something works, right? I think there's a lot of times people are sitting down and forcing themselves to write. They're like, I have to get 1,000 words out today, right? Otherwise, I can't call myself a writer if I'm not doing that. You know, I think writing when it comes from obligation as opposed to, you know, a pull towards craft and attention, and that's not me saying that writing, that kind of sustenance writing isn't important. It's hugely important and valuable, and learning how to do that is important in the same way that me learning to feed myself, even though I resent it, is also important.
Yeah, but also like learning to feed yourself in ways that you don't resent, learning to do sustenance writing in ways that you don't resent. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I often find is that if I have something that's prepackaged, that's available. So for my emails, I have templates often. Mm-hmm. These are things that you can do. And also for me, when I'm writing, like when I need to make progress on a project, sometimes I have to do sustenance writing on that, where it's like, I just have to make forward progress. Mm-hmm. And if I break it down into small chunks, that it's like meal prepping, where mm-hmm. I'm like, I know that tomorrow I'm going to be able to do actual like prose writing, but today I can do my meal prepping. I can set all of my ingredients up. Mm-hmm. I can make a bullet list of these are the things that I need to do. And often when you do that prep, when you walk into the kitchen, it's like, oh, mm-hmm. as a complete accident, I've got this new rhythm for cooking right now. So we use meal kits because it turns out that I don't actually love shopping for groceries and doing the meal, the menu planning. But I really enjoy cooking. My husband is often doing some volunteer work about 20 minutes away. And so he will let me know I'm on my way home. And it's not a predictable time. Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing is I've been doing all of the sous chef work, all of the prep work. And then I get that 20 minute notice and I walk back into the kitchen and I cook. And I'm finding that that is actually starting to influence the way I'm writing too, that I will do some prep work. And then I'll take a little bit of a break and then I'll come back and it's like, oh, look at this gift that I've given to my future self.
This is me spending a day making stock, making my kimchi for the month, whatever it is.
Yeah, there's this, I love this idea and it's reminding me of a cooking thing that I'm going to horribly mispronounce because it's French, mise en place.
Mise en place. Mm-hmm.
Mise en place. The idea there is that you prep all your ingredients in advance, that you've pre-chopped everything, you've pre-measured everything, so that when it's time to cook, you just have them close at hand. And I am realizing as I listen to everyone talk that's how I use outlining. Mm. Uh-huh. That if I have my outline, and I am an extensive outliner, I outline scene by scene. And so when it is time to write the next thing, I can open that outline and look at it, and I know who's in this scene and what is it supposed to accomplish and what is supposed to happen and blah, 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 which is just like having everything pre-chopped and I can just pick it up and throw it in a pan.
And it doesn't have to be outlining. You can also, if you're a discovery writer, you can also bank sensory details so that you've got those ready at hand. It's like, what does this room look like? I will often use C.L. Polk's 5-4-3-2-1 technique where I just write down, okay, what are 5 things that are visible in this room? What are 4 things that I can hear? And I'll just go through those, all 5 senses, so that they're banked. So when I sit down, mm-hmm. I've already thought about that, even if I'm doing some discovery writing.
We're going to take a quick break. And after the break, I'm going to argue with someone who's been dead for 150 years.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
All right. In the 19th century, French chef Antonin Carême famously declared that there are five mother sauces: Espagnol, Velouté, Bechamel, Tomate, and Hollandaise. And I looked at those when I learned this and realized four of those are thickened with a roux, which is butter and flour. And one of them is a water and oil emulsion. Dude, there are only two mother sauces. There are only two. And because four of them are exactly the same thing, all you're changing is the flavor. I bring this up because this only ever happens in cooking. I've never had writers argue about what kinds of forms there are for writing or anything.
Yeah. You are not hanging out with the right writers. That's all I have to say. You know. There are only three stories. It's only man meets man, man. It's like...
There's only the hero's journey. There's only save the cat. There's only, you know.
Yeah. The one I heard was there are only two stories. Stranger comes to town and somebody goes on a trip. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, those are the same story. It's just the point of view.
Yeah. There's only one story.
Really. The point here is that I love structure. I love formula. And the first thing that happens when I look at a formula or a structure is I begin asking it. I begin trying to break it. I wrap it around things it shouldn't be wrapped around. I play with taxonomy. I love this. Does it result in good cooking? Maybe, sometimes. Does it result in good writing? It can. What are the things where you've done this, where you've taken a form and you've said, wow, this form is interesting, but it really doesn't mean what I think, what everybody says it means. I'm going to do something else with it.
Daily. but it is, I think that is the heart of this is that we'll hear writers say, oh, I don't want to do anything formulaic. And the difference between formula and formulaic is very interesting. So I tend to think of writing as recipes. And like when I am doing recipes, I always wind up swapping something because I'm like, you know what? I just want a little bit more of this or a little bit more of that. And when I'm writing also, it's like, you know, the number of times that I have secretly done a retelling of something and I just haven't told anyone that it's a retelling. And, you know, I've filed the serial numbers off really hard. No one's noticed. Mm-hmm. No one's noticed that I'm using somebody else's recipe. This is like, you know, you go to a restaurant and you order the creme brulee and there's a whole bunch of like, boy, that is a very simple dessert that you can really mess up. Mm-hmm. But that's a recipe that someone invented and it has become a genre.
Someone whose first question was, can I use this blowtorch in the kitchen?
The answer is yes.
Yes, yes, you can.
More fire.
Yeah, I had a Parmesan creme brulee with a spicy red pepper jelly on top of the brulee part as an appetizer that mm-hmm. was transcendent. Mm-hmm. And that was someone going, what if? What if I take mm-hmm. this well-known thing and swap some stuff out?
Because I think getting to sort of the core of what you're talking about and core of what Howard's talking about in terms of like, yes, there are the mother sauces. Yes, it's important, blah, 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 blah. But what matters more is that there's technique behind each of the mm-hmm. mother sauces, right? And, you know, I've read so many cookbooks that have been completely transformative to my practice that, you know, have been so useful. The one that I think made more of an impact than any other is a book called Ratio by Michael Ruhlman. And Ratio, it's a very slim book, and it's just teaching you not to think in terms of recipe, but giving you the logic of why recipes are structured the way that they are. The ratios that go into thinking about food, into thinking about drink, into thinking about, you know, I mean, Samin Nosrat's salt, fat, acid, heat is getting at this in a different way, yeah. right? Those are the four elements of any dish. Salt, fat, acid, and heat. How are you applying them? That's going to make things delicious, right? And so think about ratio, think about elemental ingredients, and you'll see the logic behind the recipe. And then any recipe you run into, you can figure it out, right? Any book you want to write, if you understand the ratios, if you understand the core elements, you can write a mystery, you can write a space opera, you can write a romance, you can do whatever story you're trying to accomplish.
I am trying to imagine, we're recording several episodes today. This one is coming before lunch. And I am trying to imagine what this episode would be like if we recorded it after lunch when we were full and we didn't want to think about food anymore. We wouldn't get this enticing description of creme brulee.
Underestimating our ability to get hungry and think about food.
And, you know, writing is a lot like that. And I think a lot of it, you know, a lot of the time, writer's block, for example, comes down to that same idea of I am full right now. There are words in my brain. I have already written some of them and I'm just not feeling it anymore. And that's okay. Sometimes it is time to get up and take a walk mm-hmm. and digest a little bit because that is going to help you feel excited about writing again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and sometimes the reason that you are not, you know, the reason you are not interested in cooking or food is because you're ill mm-hmm. and you need to take time to rest. And it's okay. And we so often have that, if you don't write every day, mm-hmm. and it's like, if you don't cook every day, no, you absolutely don't have to cook every day.
If you're feeling uninspired, go out to eat. Mm-hmm. Go to a nice restaurant. Yeah. Go to a place you've never been before. Try a new cuisine. Try a new dish that you've never tried before. And that'll help inspire you. You got to put in the tank to get stuff out.
Yeah. One of the things I just want to quickly hop back to when we were talking about the salt, fat, acid, heat, is that this is something that I have been thinking about more and more over the last year, is thinking about the why. Mm-hmm. So like I can sit down and talk to you about what a mystery structure is, mm-hmm. But why does it work? When we talk about the long night of the soul, or in a heist structure, the all is lost moment, but that's, you know, the plot twist where this was the secret plan all along, and I think it's because there's a contrast, mm-hmm. and so when I see people who are playing with a recipe, and they swap an ingredient out, but they don't understand what that ingredient does, that's I think when you get the fiction that feels lifeless or formulaic, because they aren't swapping it with intention. They're just swapping it to swap. They're just swapping it to do something different.
You know, that's Gary Larson of The Far Side perfectly described that contrast element in cooking when the polar bears are sitting outside the igloo and one of them says, man, I love these things, cold and crunchy on the outside and soft and warm in the middle.
Yes.
Anyway, but yeah, that if you don't know why these things are there, then when you make the substitution, it's a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
You're going to make the wrong sub.
Okay, so this is bringing our metaphor back around to a place where the puppetry metaphor also got to, which is the idea that execution is a vital part of this. That any recipe that you follow is going to be uniquely yours because you are the one who made it. just like when we were talking about, you know, the mother sauces and the idea that, you know, we joked that there's only one story. Something happens to a person. You know, you could reduce all recipes down to somebody eats a thing. Like, and when we get that granular with it, it's not helpful anymore. Whereas, you know, you think about a hamburger, for example, that is a formula, that is a recipe. Although every hamburger that you've had is different from every other hamburger that you've had. You can get very creative with it. You can deconstruct it. You can add different elements to it. But ultimately, it is going to be uniquely yours if you are the one who made that hamburger. And I would rather eat your hamburger than a generic one somewhere else.
I would rather eat your hamburger than let you eat it.
Well, when you talk about execution, one thing that comes to mind is, I think, a very important thing. I cook a lot. I feel like I'm a pretty good cook. I like to cook. I make good food. People enjoy it. The number of times something goes wrong in the kitchen while I'm making a meal. Mm-hmm. Making a meal I've made a million times before. Last night, I roasted a chicken, and a number of small things just went slightly off the rails, right? I was like, oh, I don't have this oil. I was making a cocktail. I was like, oh, I don't have limes. You know what I mean? And it's just like things inevitably go wrong in terms of, could be as dire as you burn yourself, you cut yourself, could be as minor as this is the wrong kind of onion, right? And how you respond to that and how you move through that, I think, is what defines a great cook from somebody who's struggling, right? And when I see people been to people's houses and they're struggling, or the food is not, you know, at the level that they wished it would be, it's because they don't know how to respond to a setback. Mm-hmm. They let the setback overwhelm them and don't understand how to improvise, how to move, how to replace, because they don't know the core elements that we're talking about. They don't know the ratios. They don't know, you know, the broader elements. And so the reason we're talking about all these things is when you are writing, something is going to go wrong,
yeah,
right? You will get derailed in your process. A character arc is not going to work the way you want it to. An emotional beat's not going to land. An action scene won't land. How do you move past that? How do you fix that?
Yeah. And I think for me, when I have that, I try to look for the opportunities. I try to look for, going back to puppetry, there's a thing about the joyful mistake. Mm-hmm. Croissant. Some dude forgot to put butter in when he was making, like, puff pastry exists because somebody was like, oh no, I forgot to add butter at the right time, and had to fold it in later to compensate. Mm-hmm. And now we have this joyful, joyful thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when something isn't working, you can step back to, okay, but what was I aiming for? What were my goals? How do I accomplish that anyway? And often it winds up being a joyful mistake that brings, because of your response to it, because you brought your own choices to it, you wind up with something that is different than everyone else is making. Mm-hmm.
It was a chemist at 3M who was trying to come up with a new adhesive and came up with an adhesive that really only barely worked. And that's why we have Post-it notes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is one of the reasons why writing is so much better than cooking. Your joyful mistake may not be right for this book, but you can put it in your trunk and it will literally keep for decades. The puff pastry is not going to last that long.
It freezes pretty well.
Yeah.
One thing I want to tag on to this is to return to the creme brulees for a moment. One of the best creme brulees I ever had was at a Japanese restaurant which did a black sesame creme brulee.
Oh my God.
Incredibly delicious. Combining a traditional East Asian ingredient with French technique and style and, you know, riffing on this mm-hmm. core thing. When you're cooking, you're going to be pulling from lots of different traditions. Mm-hmm. You're pulling a technique. I make a lot of Korean food. I frequently pull in what would be a French technique into making a Korean dish in terms of sauteing the onions a certain way beforehand or whatever, whereas Korean cooks would just toss them in, right? And it's not that one's better or worse. It's just I put a spin on it by combining these different traditions. But it's also very important to understand what the dish you're trying to make tastes like for the people who originated mm-hmm. it, right? I lived in Portland, Oregon for a few years, and that is a town that loves to make a biscuit. I also feel like that is a town that learned to make a biscuit by calling a friend who visited the South once and they described it to them over the phone. Some of the worst biscuits I've ever had in my life. They are
tough. Yeah, you and I, both Southerners, I also lived in Portland, Oregon. And every time that people would be like, you should go to this place, that their biscuits, the Southern biscuits, I'm like, those are not biscuits.
They are so committed to the worst biscuits I've ever had. But the thing is what I feel in so many cases is, they haven't had enough of the original thing.
Yeah.
They don't know what it's supposed to taste like, so they're trying to recreate it. And when it comes to tradition and when it comes to, you know, writing, when you're pulling in elements from another culture, when you're pulling in structures from another culture, there is an obligation I think you have to understand what the origin thing was. You're not trying to replicate it, but if you want to pull elements from it, you need to at least have facility and be able to recognize what the thing is.
What you're saying, if I can distill this all the way down to the roux, is good cooks got to eat, good writers got to read.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that might be the point where we do the homework. All right. Listen, this whole episode has been about giving you a metaphor for helping you to understand the way you write, the tools that are in front of you. If we've done this correctly, every time you sit down to cook or to eat, part of your brain will also be writing, because we're terrible people and we may have just done that to you. And I'm going to double down on that. Make a list of your top three comfort foods. Top three. Then make a list of your top three comfort reads. These can be specific books or they can be styles of books. Now, map them one-to-one onto each other as logically, as rationally, as deliciously as possible. This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dongwon Song, Dan Wells, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
Lowe's knows you take pride in every project. So take on what's next today with a free Select Craftsman hedge trimmer or leaf blower when you buy a 20-volt push mower. That's a $119 value on reliable, high-performance Craftsman tools you trust. For the power to do it all, build, repair, restore, maintain, go with Craftsman. Available at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/21. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.